Section 5. Ancient Kush.
If you were there. You live along the Nile River, where it moves quickly through swift rapids. A few years ago, armies from the powerful kingdom of Egypt took over your country. Some Egyptians have moved here. They bring new customs, and many people are imitating them. Now your sister has a new baby and wants to give it an Egyptian name. This upsets many people in your family. How do you feel about following Egyptian customs?
Building background. Egypt dominated the lands along the Nile, but it was not the only ancient culture to develop along the river. Another kingdom called Kush arose to the south of Egypt. Through trade, conquest, and political dealings, the histories of Egypt and Kush became closely tied together. The geography of early Nubia. South of Egypt, a group of people settled in the region we now call Nubia. These Africans established the first great kingdom in the interior of Africa. We know this kingdom by the name the Egyptians gave it, Kush. The development of Kushite society was greatly influenced by the geography of Nubia, especially the role played by the Nile River. The land of Nubia. Today, desert covers much of Nubia, but in ancient times, the region was more fertile than it is now. Rain flooded the Nile every year, providing a rich layer of silt to nearby lands. The kingdom of Kush developed in this fertile area. Ancient Nubia was rich in minerals such as gold, copper, and stone. These resources played a major role in the area's history and contributed to its wealth. Early civilization in Nubia. Like all early civilizations, the people of Nubia depended on agriculture for their food. Fortunately for them, the Nile's floods allowed the Nubians to plant both summer and winter crops. Among the crops they grew were wheat, barley, and other grains. Besides farmland, the banks of the Nile also provided grazing land for livestock. As a result, farming villages thrived all along the Nile by 3500 BC. Over time, some farmers grew richer than others. These farmers became village leaders. Sometime around 2000 BC, one of these leaders took control of other villages and made himself king of the region. His new kingdom was called Kush. The kings of Kush ruled from their capital at Karma. This city was located on the Nile, just south of the Third Cataract. Because the Nile's cataracts made parts of the river hard to pass through, they were natural barriers against invaders. For many years, the cataracts kept Kush safe from the more powerful Egyptian kingdom to the north. As time passed, Kushite society grew more complex. Besides farmers and herders, some Kushites became priests and artisans. Early Kush was influenced by cultures to the south. Later, Egypt played a greater role in Kush's history. Kush and Egypt. Kush and Egypt were neighbors. Sometimes the neighbors lived in peace with each other and helped each other prosper. For example, Kush became a major supplier of both slaves and raw materials to Egypt. The Kushites sent materials such as gold, copper, and stone to Egypt. The Kushites also sent the Egyptians ebony, a type of dark, heavy wood, and ivory, the hard white material that makes up elephant tusks. Egypt's conquest of Kush. Relations between Kush and Egypt were not always peaceful, however. As Kush grew wealthy from trade, its army grew stronger as well. Egypt's rulers soon feared that Kush would grow even more powerful and attack Egypt. To prevent such an attack from occurring, the pharaoh, Thutmose I, sent an army to take control of Kush around 1500 BC. The pharaoh's army conquered all of Nubia north of the Fifth Cataract. As a result, Kush became part of Egypt. After his army's victory, the pharaoh destroyed Karma, the Kushite capital. Later pharaohs, including Hatshepsut and Ramses the Great, built huge temples in what had been Kushite territory. Effects of the conquest. Kush remained in Egyptian territory for about 450 years. During that time, Egypt's influence over Kush grew tremendously. Many Egyptians settled in Kush. Egyptian became the language of the region. Many Kushites used Egyptian names and wore Egyptian-style clothing. They also adopted Egyptian religious practices. A change in power. During the mid-1000s BC, the new kingdom in Egypt was ending. As the power of Egypt's pharaohs declined, Kushite leaders regained control of Kush. Kush once again became independent. We know almost nothing about the history of the Kushites from the time they gained independence until 200 years later. Kush is not mentioned in any historical records that describe those centuries. The conquest of Egypt. By around 850 BC, Kush had regained its strength. It was once again as strong as it had been before it had been conquered by Egypt. Because the Egyptians had captured and destroyed the city of Karma, the kings of Kush ruled from the city of Nepeta. Built by the Egyptians, Nepeta was on the Nile, about 100 miles southeast of Karma. As Kush grew stronger, Egypt was further weakened. A series of inept pharaohs left Egypt open to attack. In the 700s BC, a Kushite king, Kashta, seized on Egypt's weakness and attacked it. By about 751 BC, he had conquered Upper Egypt. He then established relations with Lower Egypt. After Kashta died, his son Pyanki continued to attack Egypt. The armies of Kush captured many cities, including Egypt's ancient capital. Pyanki fought the Egyptians because he believed that the gods wanted him to rule all of Egypt. By the time he died in about 716 BC, Pyanki had accomplished this task. His kingdom extended north from Nepeta to the Nile Delta. The Kushite Dynasty. After Pyanki died, his brother Shabaka took control of the kingdom. Shabaka then declared himself pharaoh. This declaration began the 25th dynasty, or Kushite dynasty, in Egypt. Shabaka and later rulers of his dynasty believed that they were heirs of the great pharaohs of Egypt's past. They tried to restore old Egyptian cultural practices and renew faded traditions. Some of these practices and traditions had been abandoned during Egypt's period of weakness. For example, Shabaka was buried in a pyramid. The Egyptians had stopped building pyramids for their rulers centuries before. The Kushite rulers of Egypt built new temples to Egyptian gods and restored old temples. They also worked to preserve Egyptian writings. As a result, Egyptian culture thrived during the 25th dynasty. The end of Kushite rule in Egypt. The Kushite dynasty remained strong in Egypt for about 40 years. In the 670s BC, however, the powerful army of the Assyrians from Mesopotamia invaded Egypt. The Assyrians' iron weapons were better than the Kushites' bronze weapons. Although the Kushites were skilled archers, they could not stop the invaders. The Kushites were steadily pushed southward. In just 10 years, the Assyrians had driven the Kushite forces completely out of Egypt. Later Kush. After they lost control of Egypt, the people of Kush devoted themselves to agriculture and trade, hoping to make their country rich again. Within a few centuries, the kingdom of Kush had indeed become prosperous and powerful once more. Kush's iron industry. The economic center of Kush during this period was at Merowe, the kingdom's new capital. Merowe's location on the east bank of the Nile helped Kush's economy to grow. Large deposits of gold could be found nearby, as could forests of ebony and other wood. More importantly, the area around Merowe was full of rich iron ore deposits. In this location, the Cushites developed Africa's first iron industry. Iron ore and wood for furnaces were easily available, so the iron industry grew quickly. The expansion of trade. In time, Merowe became the center of a large trade network, a system of people in different lands who trade goods. The Cushites sent goods down the Nile to Egypt. From there, Egyptian and Greek merchants, or traders, carried goods to ports on the Mediterranean and Red Seas and to southern Africa. These goods may have eventually reached India and perhaps China. Cush's exports, items sent out to other regions, included gold, pottery, iron tools, slaves, and ivory. Cushite merchants also exported leopard skins, ostrich feathers, and elephants. In return, the Cushites received imports, goods brought in from other regions, such as fine jewelry and luxury items from Egypt, Asia, and other lands along the Mediterranean Sea. Cushite culture. As Cushite trade grew, merchants came into contact with people from other cultures. As a result, the people of Cush combined customs from other cultures with their own unique Cushite culture. The most obvious influence on Cushite culture was Egypt. Many buildings in Merowe, especially temples, resembled those in Egypt. Many people in Cush worshipped Egyptian gods and wore Egyptian clothing. Cushite rulers used the title pharaoh and were buried in pyramids. Many elements of Cushite culture were not borrowed. Cushite houses and daily life were unique. One Greek geographer noted some Cushite differences. The houses in the cities are formed by interweaving split pieces of palm wood or of bricks. They hunt elephants, lions, and panthers. There are also serpents, and there are many other kinds of wild animals. Strabo, the geographies. In addition to Egyptian gods, the people of Cush worshipped their own gods. They also developed their own written language, Meroitic. Unfortunately, historians are not yet able to understand Meroitic. Women in Cushite society. The women of Cush were expected to be active in their society. They worked in the fields, raised children, cooked, and performed other household tasks. Some Cushite women rose to positions of authority. Some served as co-rulers with their husbands or sons. A few women ruled the empire alone. Historians believe that the first woman to rule Cush was Queen Shenukta-Kito. She ruled from 170 BC to 150 BC. The decline of Cush. Cush gradually declined in power. A series of problems within the kingdom weakened its economy. One problem was that Cush's cattle were allowed to overgraze. When cows ate all the grass, wind blew the soil away, causing farmers to produce less food. In addition, iron makers used up the forests near Merowe. As wood became scarce, furnaces shut down. Cush produced fewer weapons and trade goods. Cush was also weakened by a loss of trade. Foreign merchants set up new trade routes that went around Cush. One such trade route bypassed Cush in favor of Aksum, a kingdom located along the Red Sea in what is today Ethiopia and Eritrea. In the first 2 centuries AD, Aksum grew wealthy from trade. By the AD 300s, Cush had lost much of its wealth and military might. The king of Aksum took advantage of his former trade rival's weakness. In AD 350, the Aksumite army of King Azana destroyed Merowe and took over Cush. In the late 300s, the rulers of Aksum became Christian. About 200 years later, the Nubians also converted. The last influences of Cush had disappeared. Summary and preview. From their capital at Merowe, the people of Cush controlled a powerful trading network. Next, You will learn about a land that may have traded with Kush, India. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions. Before moving on, your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the Social Studies Skills and Standards Review Exercise. Section 5. Ancient Kush.
If you were there. You live along the Nile River, where it moves quickly through swift rapids. A few years ago, armies from the powerful kingdom of Egypt took over your country. Some Egyptians have moved here. They bring new customs, and many people are imitating them. Now your sister has a new baby and wants to give it an Egyptian name. This upsets many people in your family. How do you feel about following Egyptian customs?
Building background. Egypt dominated the lands along the Nile, but it was not the only ancient culture to develop along the river. Another kingdom called Kush arose to the south of Egypt. Through trade, conquest, and political dealings, the histories of Egypt and Kush became closely tied together. The geography of early Nubia. South of Egypt, a group of people settled in the region we now call Nubia. These Africans established the first great kingdom in the interior of Africa. We know this kingdom by the name the Egyptians gave it, Kush. The development of Kushite society was greatly influenced by the geography of Nubia, especially the role played by the Nile River. The land of Nubia. Today, desert covers much of Nubia, but in ancient times, the region was more fertile than it is now. Rain flooded the Nile every year, providing a rich layer of silt to nearby lands. The kingdom of Kush developed in this fertile area. Ancient Nubia was rich in minerals such as gold, copper, and stone. These resources played a major role in the area's history and contributed to its wealth. Early civilization in Nubia. Like all early civilizations, the people of Nubia depended on agriculture for their food. Fortunately for them, the Nile's floods allowed the Nubians to plant both summer and winter crops. Among the crops they grew were wheat, barley, and other grains. Besides farmland, the banks of the Nile also provided grazing land for livestock. As a result, farming villages thrived all along the Nile by 3500 BC. Over time, some farmers grew richer than others. These farmers became village leaders. Sometime around 2000 BC, one of these leaders took control of other villages and made himself king of the region. His new kingdom was called Kush. The kings of Kush ruled from their capital at Karma. This city was located on the Nile, just south of the Third Cataract. Because the Nile's cataracts made parts of the river hard to pass through, they were natural barriers against invaders. For many years, the cataracts kept Kush safe from the more powerful Egyptian kingdom to the north. As time passed, Kushite society grew more complex. Besides farmers and herders, some Kushites became priests and artisans. Early Kush was influenced by cultures to the south. Later, Egypt played a greater role in Kush's history. Kush and Egypt. Kush and Egypt were neighbors. Sometimes the neighbors lived in peace with each other and helped each other prosper. For example, Kush became a major supplier of both slaves and raw materials to Egypt. The Kushites sent materials such as gold, copper, and stone to Egypt. The Kushites also sent the Egyptians ebony, a type of dark, heavy wood, and ivory, the hard white material that makes up elephant tusks. Egypt's conquest of Kush. Relations between Kush and Egypt were not always peaceful, however. As Kush grew wealthy from trade, its army grew stronger as well. Egypt's ruler soon feared that Kush would grow even more powerful and attack Egypt. To prevent such an attack from occurring, the pharaoh, Thutmose I, sent an army to take control of Kush around 1500 BC. The pharaoh's army conquered all of Nubia north of the Fifth Cataract. As a result, Kush became part of Egypt. After his army's victory, the pharaoh destroyed Karma, the Kushite capital. Later pharaohs, including Hatshepsut and Ramses the Great, built huge temples in what had been Kushite territory. Effects of the conquest. Kush remained in Egyptian territory for about 450 years. During that time, Egypt's influence over Kush grew tremendously. Many Egyptians settled in Kush. Egyptian became the language of the region. Many Kushites used Egyptian names and wore Egyptian-style clothing. They also adopted Egyptian religious practices. A change in power. During the mid-1000s BC, the new kingdom in Egypt was ending. As the power of Egypt's pharaohs declined, Kushite leaders regained control of Kush. Kush once again became independent. We know almost nothing about the history of the Kushites from the time they gained independence until 200 years later. Kush is not mentioned in any historical records that describe those centuries. The conquest of Egypt. By around 850 BC, Kush had regained its strength. It was once again as strong as it had been before it had been conquered by Egypt. Because the Egyptians had captured and destroyed the city of Karma, the kings of Kush ruled from the city of Napata. Built by the Egyptians, Napata was on the Nile, about 100 miles southeast of Karma. As Kush grew stronger, Egypt was further weakened. A series of inept pharaohs left Egypt open to attack. In the 700s BC, a Kushite king, Kashta, seized on Egypt's weakness and attacked it. By about 751 BC, he had conquered Upper Egypt. He then established relations with Lower Egypt. After Kashta died, his son Pyanki continued to attack Egypt. The armies of Kush captured many cities, including Egypt's ancient capital. Pyanki fought the Egyptians because he believed that the gods wanted him to rule all of Egypt. By the time he died in about 716 BC, Pyanki had accomplished this task. His kingdom extended north from Napata to the Nile Delta. The Kushite Dynasty. After Pyanki died, his brother Shabaka took control of the kingdom. Shabaka then declared himself pharaoh. This declaration began the 25th dynasty, or Kushite dynasty, in Egypt. Shabaka and later rulers of his dynasty believed that they were heirs of the great pharaohs of Egypt's past. They tried to restore old Egyptian cultural practices and renew faded traditions. Some of these practices and traditions had been abandoned during Egypt's period of weakness. For example, Shabaka was buried in a pyramid. The Egyptians had stopped building pyramids for their rulers centuries before. The Kushite rulers of Egypt built new temples to Egyptian gods and restored old temples. They also worked to preserve Egyptian writings. As a result, Egyptian culture thrived during the 25th dynasty. The end of Kushite rule in Egypt. The Kushite dynasty remained strong in Egypt for about 40 years. In the 670s BC, however, the powerful army of the Assyrians from Mesopotamia invaded Egypt. The Assyrians' iron weapons were better than the Kushites' bronze weapons. Although the Kushites were skilled archers, they could not stop the invaders. The Kushites were steadily pushed southward. In just 10 years, the Assyrians had driven the Kushite forces completely out of Egypt. Later Kush. After they lost control of Egypt, the people of Kush devoted themselves to agriculture and trade, hoping to make their country rich again. Within a few centuries, the kingdom of Kush had indeed become prosperous and powerful once more. Kush's iron industry. The economic center of Kush during this period was at Merowe, the kingdom's new capital. Merowe's location on the east bank of the Nile helped Kush's economy to grow. Large deposits of gold could be found nearby, as could forests of ebony and other wood. More importantly, the area around Merowe was full of rich iron ore deposits. In this location, the Kushites developed Africa's first iron industry. Iron ore and wood for furnaces were easily available, so the iron industry grew quickly. The expansion of trade. In time, Merowe became the center of a large trade network, a system of people in different lands who trade goods. The Kushites sent goods down the Nile to Egypt. From there, Egyptian and Greek merchants, or traders, carried goods to ports on the Mediterranean and Red Seas and to southern Africa. These goods may have eventually reached India and perhaps China. Kush's exports, items sent out to other regions, included gold, pottery, iron tools, slaves, and ivory. Kushite merchants also exported leopard skins, ostrich feathers, and elephants. In return, the Kushites received imports, goods brought in from other regions, such as fine jewelry and luxury items from Egypt, Asia, and other lands along the Mediterranean Sea. Kushite culture. As Kushite trade grew, merchants came into contact with people from other cultures. As a result, the people of Kush combined customs from other cultures with their own unique Kushite culture. The most obvious influence on Kushite culture was Egypt. Many buildings in Merowe, especially temples, resembled those in Egypt. Many people in Kush worshipped Egyptian gods and wore Egyptian clothing. Kushite rulers used the title pharaoh and were buried in pyramids. Many elements of Kushite culture were not borrowed. Kushite houses and daily life were unique. One Greek geographer noted some Kushite differences. The houses in the cities are formed by interweaving split pieces of palm wood or of bricks. They hunt elephants, lions, and panthers. There are also serpents, and there are many other kinds of wild animals. Strabo, the geographies. In addition to Egyptian gods, the people of Kush worship their own gods. They also developed their own written language, Meroitic. Unfortunately, historians are not yet able to understand Meroitic. Women in Kushite society. The women of Kush were expected to be active in their society. They worked in the fields, raised children, cooked, and performed other household tasks. Some Kushite women rose to positions of authority. Some served as co-rulers with their husbands or sons. A few women ruled the empire alone. Historians believe that the first woman to rule Kush was Queen Shanukta Kito. She ruled from 170 BC to 150 BC. The decline of Kush. Kush gradually declined in power. A series of problems within the kingdom weakened its economy. One problem was that Kush's cattle were allowed to overgraze. When cows ate all the grass, wind blew the soil away, causing farmers to produce less food. In addition, iron makers used up the forest near Merowe. As wood became scarce, furnaces shut down. Kush produced fewer weapons and trade goods. Kush was also weakened by a loss of trade. Foreign merchants set up new trade routes that went around Kush. One such trade route bypassed Kush in favor of Aksum, a kingdom located along the Red Sea in what is today Ethiopia and Eritrea. In the first 2 centuries AD, Aksum grew wealthy from trade. By the AD 300s, Kush had lost much of its wealth and military might. The king of Aksum took advantage of his former trade rival's weakness. In AD 350, the Aksumite army of King Azana destroyed Merowe and took over Kush. In the late 300s, the rulers of Aksum became Christian. About 200 years later, the Nubians also converted. The last influences of Kush had disappeared. Summary and preview. From their capital at Meroe, the people of Kush controlled a powerful trading network. Next, you will learn about a land that may have traded with Kush, India. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions. Before moving on, your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the social studies skills and standards review exercises. The standards assessment exercise will give you additional practice using what you've learned.